Good morning, Mr. President. Good morning, members of council. At this time, I see no recommended changes to today's agenda.
Any motion to approve the agenda? Motion, Mr. Riley. Second, Mr. Schaefer. Questions on a motion? We'll take the vote. Mr. Schaefer?
Yes.
Mrs. Green?
Yes.
Mr. Hudson?
Yes.
Mr. Riley? Yes. Motion carried. Minutes of July, no, excuse me, June. Any questions, corrections, additions? And they'll stand approved. Correspondent, Mr. Moore.
Yes, Mr. President. We have one letter, and it's on behalf of Luke, thanking the council for their contributions.
Any correspondence from council? Correspondence from council. Okay. Now's the time for public comment. Sign up sheet. If you have public comment, you have 3 minutes. When you come to start, there's a green light on here, it'll come on. A minute, the amber light comes on. When the red light comes on, your time's done. Don Burdick.
Turn the microphone on.
Turn the microphone on right there. There you go. Mr. Lawson, you'll start the clock. Go ahead, sir.
On December 27th, 2018, Todd Lawson and the County Council were issued a notification of noncompliance for severe violations at Inland Bay's Regional Wastewater Facility. The notification was not posted to the Denrec Environmental Navigator as mandated by law. The Engineering Department's compliance monitoring report indicated aquifer contamination from the facility, recommending the off-site domestic wells be monitored. They were not. The facility remains grossly out of compliance with a permit that expired in 2017. Inland Bay's Regional Wastewater Facility is implicated in the Couples versus Mount Air lawsuits, which states that Mount Air disposed of sludge on the facility, though lead counsel Chase Brockstead lied about it to Attorney General Jennings. He snuck it in without warning. At a May 10, 2022 permit hearing, Administrator Lawson and County Engineer Han Modlars blatantly lied, claiming their stated goal was to assure the public of Sussex County's continued commitment to 100% Denrec permit compliance and full transparency, neither of which was true. That is conspiracy, fraud, false statements, obstruction of justice, abuse of power, un-American, and outrageous. People died. My husband and I spent a staggering amount of money protecting the public from the government to save their physical and financial lives. I turned those government criminals into the DOJ and to the press, who will try them in the court of public opinion. That is dysfunctional. The Piney Neck facilities also has an expired permit and massive pollution. Millsboro's sewage treatment plant sprayed highly contaminated water on the Millsboro Middle School football field where children play. Public utilities are not to be abused by corporations to compensate for their decades-long, hopelessly broken factories. Violations of public trust are some of the most serious crimes investigated by the FBI. They undermine government integrity, threaten public safety, and erode confidence in institutions essential for functioning democracy. The budget should include well testing for the industrial chemicals causing widespread suffering I found as I canvassed the region doing the government's duty to protect and warn the public. Free shower filters and water treatment to remove those dangerous toxins should be provided to any home testing positive for PFAS, regardless of the level. Citizens do not pay taxes to be poisoned by kleptocrats like Todd Lawson.
Sir.
Yes. That's
you do
true.
Not need, you do not need to point to anybody on his dice.
Well, he lied to the public. He lied to the public.
I don't know that you're not lying.
Yeah, he did.
I don't know that you're not lying to us.
Okay, but I'm not.
So,
but okay. I'm allowed to tell you that, or else how would you know?
Your time's up then. Thank you.
No, it's not. I mean, we can talk
have
about
you got
it.
Something else? No, we're not going to talk about it. You got something else to say?
Okay, well, which one of you lied? Someone of you yelled at me on the phone. Riley, there you are. He yelled at me on the phone. We had an hour-long argument about this. We don't like the bird anything. Sue us.
Sir,
well, Attorney General, you do not do that.
Thank you very much. Kim Parsons?
She's not here yet. She's got double pneumonia, and she's
okay.
Here are two children. She's suffering terribly right now.
Diane Longo?
Hi, my name is Diane Longo.
Okay.
Hi, my name is Diane Longo, and I live in Indian Summer Village in Millsboro, Delaware. And I want to show you, this is what I wake up to every morning, the blood streaming down my legs from the... This was my husband before he passed away. This is what my legs look like most of the time. Oh. And they were clearing up I got a new well put in, and 2 weeks ago, my water started turning brown and smelling like rotten eggs again. I have a filtration system put in. Nothing is being done to correct the situation from Mount Air. I'll be honest with you, nothing. I've been there 17 years. My husband didn't get sick. He was so forward looking to move into our house because I had a well and he loved drinking the water. And then all of a sudden he got sick, started taking seizures, and that's how he ended up the last 4 years of his life in hospice at my house. He was 80 pounds when he passed away, and I would have been married 54 years. And this is one of my neighbors who was not able to make it, what her arms look like. My arms look similar to that. You can see the scars. I mean, I've been to doctors after doctors and creams and medications and everything else. Something has to, they have to do something. I see that water coming out of Mount Air, and it's disgusting, and the smell of rotten eggs is unbelievable. Time is up.
You got another minute if you want more things.
Pardon me?
You have another minute if you want to.
I do. Okay, I'm sorry. But somebody has to do something to correct this. Too many people are dying from these. My two dogs both died, and they did an autopsy, and it was too high in nitrates. And one was a certified service dog. He dropped dead in my driveway after two days before the hat being recertified for his health, everything, so he could go into hospitals. He went to the Millsboro Library, all the home health care places. And then my other dog, he had diabetes. And it was caused by the high nitrates. And I got a letter from the state saying my water now is undrinkable. They tested it. And I spent over $14,000 on that filtration system that's still not doing any good. I had to have all new piping put in because the nitrates and all the chemicals that are coming into my house, it's undone, I know.
Thank you.
Caused the pipes to rot out. I had to have copper piping all taken out.
Thank you. Diane Longo? Oh, that was you, wasn't it? I'm sorry.
That was me.
Tyrone Romano, here he comes.
My name is Tyrone Romano. And my wife, Darlene, and myself were poisoned by the Inland Bay's wastewater facility. I was not sure what I was going to come here to say today. So I'll lean on my two biggest influences, the United States Navy and the state of New Jersey. Being a Navy vet, I was taught to get stuff done. And being from New Jersey, we like to confront or even knock on doors of people who need to be confronted. So this is me knocking on your door. The pain is real. The illnesses are real. The severe economic impact is real. And you know what else was real? Not testing these wells is real. Test them. So the way I see, you got 2 weeks. With testing on the budget, or I will lead a campaign going door to door and put the pictures of the citizens, including myself, and a way to read your budget. And if you're not in your budget in 2 weeks, then each and one of you will be derelict in your duty. Once again, the pain is real. The hardships are real. The illnesses are real. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
This is my kidney. Sir.
You've already spoken, so do
Thank
not
you.
Make remarks from the from there.
Is there something you don't understand about being quiet? You had your turn to speak. You spoke. Okay? That's being very fair. You don't need to speak from the audience. Be polite, like we're being to you. Dr. Wow. Bell, what's your name, sir?
Gerald, Dr. Gerald Bell.
Bell, okay, yeah, okay. Come on down.
I also live in Indian Summer Village, which is right downstream from the Inland Bays.
Excuse me, can you give us your name and address first?
I'm Dr. Jerry Bell. Address?
Yes, please.
110 Crazy Horse Trail.
Okay, thank you.
Indian Summer Village. Our well water, as well as many of our neighbors, Diane, Tyrone, were poisoned severely by the ongoing Inland Bays Regional Wastewater Facility. It's outrageous. They've done nothing. I'll get more on that in a minute. This is a drone image because there's so much corruption and illegal stuff going on, and you all know it. I know it. They all know it. This is a massive 4-acre pit in the woods behind Councilman Riley's house. There is no permit. Industrial hoses lead from a first staging pit to a second located within the main.
That is not my property.
I didn't say that. I said it's behind your house.
I have no knowledge of that.
A massive, that's why I'm bringing it to your attention, sir.
Fine. Go ahead.
A massive hose heads from the main pit toward Cowbridge Branch, which feeds into Millsboro Pond, the headwater of the highly polluted Indian River. The pit and entry to Cowbridge Branch are surrounded by a blind, so no one can see. My husband called John Riley about this. Riley screamed at him and hung up. This is a satellite image showing active dumping of liquid at an illegal landfill on Lawson Road in Georgetown, parcel 234-21-139. Friends living on by the landfill have suffered extreme medical issues. Former Planning and Zoning Director Lawrence Lake noted the parcel was previously utilized by the state of Delaware. Why are all levels of government allowing an illegal landfill on that particular site? The law singles out for enhanced penalties those who dump a substantial quantity of litter, yet Sussex County and Denrec have done nothing to enforce the law and remove it. Nothing. Just like Sussex County did nothing for years about the poisoned groundwater coming from the Inland Bays Regional Wastewater Facility, except to lie about it. They have not alerted or assisted the public in any way, often leaving citizens with severe illnesses and sometimes death. Why did Mount Air settle over $200 million for lawsuits if they were innocent? Why was Inland Bays put into that lawsuit? Because they did nothing. Obviously, it speaks for itself. The record speaks for itself. Coincidentally, Couples versus Mount Air Representative Joe Gomez, who lives across from the landfill, was dropped from the amended complaint in the lawsuit and replaced with Larry Miller, who lives right across the street from Inland Bays. His wife is dead. His daughter has suffered tremendously. She lives right there as well. An additional count was added regarding the untimely death of Larry Miller's wife. Again, poisoned by Inland Bays.
Sir, your time's up. Thank you. Thank you for your time.
Could I finish with two sentences?
Certainly.
Illegal landfills and pits and environmental poisoning are blatant examples of corruption in Sussex County. Todd Lawson lying about Inland Bays further epitomizes and enables corruption. In Sussex County, widespread corruption and the lack of accountability have often rendered the law, the will of the people, irrelevant. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Already check on the line, please, for public comment.
At this time, there is no one on the line.
We'll close the public comment. Move Mr. Lawson, Administrator's report.
Thank you, Mr. President. County Administrator's report for June 18, 2024. Item one, the Delaware State Police year-to-date activity report for May 2024 is attached listing the number of violent crime and property crime arrests, as well as total traffic charges and corresponding arrests. In addition, DUI and total vehicle crashes investigated are listed. In total, there were 190 troopers assigned to Sussex County for the month of May. Item two, county offices will be closed on Wednesday, June 19th in observance of Juneteenth holiday. Offices will reopen on Thursday, June 20th. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. It's now time for our public hearing. Mr. Moore.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. Now is the time and place for several public hearings. What we'll do is there will be short presentations given by the county. After those presentations are given, there will be an opportunity for the council to ask questions. And after that, any members of the public that would like to comment on those would be able to also comment.
My.
No problem. I'll repeat that. This is time and place for public hearing on several matters, and each will be introduced separately. During those periods of time, there will be comments by council after the those comments were made to council and reports given on the motions and on the ordinances. Then there will be an opportunity for council to ask questions, and then after that, any members of the public may comment on those items. The first one, Mr. President, is a public hearing to adopt the assessment rules. This one, there is no ordinance. Ms. Jennings.
Thank you, Mr. Moore. The assessment rules reflect the county's records for equivalent dwelling units, or EDUs, the billable front footage for each sewer and water district. These records have been made available in the billing office for public inspection and review. These records are subject to individual appeal via the Board of Assessment Review. This is not the public hearing for the water and sewer rates. This public hearing is for the list of properties and their applicable front footage and EDUs that will be billed by the rates established in the rate ordinance. I'm going to turn it back over to Mr. Moore.
Are there any questions from council? If not, is there anyone in the public that would like to comment on this matter concerning the assessment rules? Anyone like to speak? Operator, is there anyone listening remotely that would like to comment?
At this time, there is no one on the line.
Thank you, Operator. Mr. President, this time we can close this public hearing, and Gina does have a motion.
We'll close the public hearing. Ms. Jennings, read your motion, please.
Thank you. Be it moved that Sussex County Council adopts the assessment rules for the Sussex County Unified Sewer District and Water Districts for the period July 1st, 2024 through June 30th, 2025.
Pleasure, Council. Motion, Mr. Riley. Second.
Second.
Mr. Hudson. Questions on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mr. Schaefer.
Yes.
Mrs. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Hudson?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
I'll be yes. Motion carried. Next, Mr. Moore.
Thank you, Mr. President. Next matter is an ordinance to establish the sewer and water rates. And Ms. Jennings?
Thank you, Mr. Moore. So quickly, going over the water and sewer rates, if you remember during the introduction, we are proposing a increase in water rates by $25 a year and sewer rates $10 a year. This is to cover inflationary costs. Most of it has to do with our treatment plants, the cost that City of Rehoboth and City of Seaford charge. We have to cover those costs in our rates. You'll also notice that our assessment rates, the older districts, the districts that have been online are on the left side, and you'll see there's seven there that the rates are going down. And then we have five more districts that are coming online, and that is the rate that we would like to establish to cover their debt. I'll turn it back over to Mr. Moore.
Yes, thank you. Does council have any questions? If not, is there any member of the public that would like to comment on this proposed ordinance? Is there anyone in the public that would like to comment? Ma'am?
Come on down. Come down here, please.
You need to give us your name and address, please, and make your comment.
My name is Diane Longo. And
your address?
5 Arrowhead Trail.
Okay.
Indian Summer Village, okay. Millsboro.
Okay.
And I have a question. Is there any possibility that we will be getting sewer and water into our development when I know the lines are right 3 houses away of a 24?
Well, that's not part of this hearing.
Okay.
But we can find that out for sure. I mean, but it's something that you would have to request to be annexed in. Well, we can find that out.
Okay,
yeah,
I'm sorry.
Okay.
No, that's fine.
Is there anyone else that would have a question or like to comment? Seeing none, operator, is anyone listening remotely that would like to comment?
At this time, there is no one on the line.
Thank you, operator. Mr. President, this time we can close the public hearing on this matter. If council desires, close the public hearing, public record.
We'll close public hearing. So give the council a closed public record. Ask Mr. Moore with a short title.
Thank you, Mr. President. An ordinance establishing annual service charges, annual assessment rates for collection and transmission and or treatment and connection charges for all Sussex County water and sanitary sewer districts.
Pleasure, council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Riley. Second.
Second.
Mr. Hudson. Questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mr. Schaefer.
Yes.
Mrs. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Hudson?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
I will yes. Motion carried. Next, Mr. Moore?
Yes. The next matter is an ordinance to increase marital fees. Ms. Jennings?
Thank you, Mr. Moore. So the fees in the Marriage Bureau, we're requesting to charge $20 for a single status form. Currently, Kent County and Newcastle County do charge for that form, and also change the fees for out-of-office ceremonies, $125 from $100 for Delaware State residents, and from $200 to $250 for out-of-state couples. And I just wanted to show that Marriage Bureau does usually not break even. It is a cost to the taxpayer. So we do try to look at their fees and try to get that up and closer to break even. Turn back over to Mr. Moore.
Oh, thank you. Any questions from council?
Nope.
If not, is there any member of the public here today that would like to comment on the proposed ordinance concerning marital fees? Is there anyone that would like to comment? Seeing none, operator, is there anyone listening remotely that would like to comment on this proposed ordinance?
At this time, there is no one on the line.
Thank you, operator. Mr. President, this time we can close the public hearing on this matter. If council desires, close the public record.
We'll close public hearing. It's okay with council, close public record. Ask Mr. Moore to do a short title.
Thank you, Mr. President. An ordinance to amend Chapter 62, Article 5, Roman numeral, Section 62-16 of the Code of Sussex County to increase the fees for residents and non-residents for out-of-office marriage ceremonies and renewal of marriage vows and to institute fees for miscellaneous services.
Pleasure, Council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Riley. Second.
Second.
Mr. Hudson. Questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mr. Schaefer.
Yes.
Mrs. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I have a yes. Motion carried. Mr. Moore.
The next matter, Mr. President, is a proposed ordinance to modify recorder of deeds fees. Ms. Jennings.
Thank you, Mr. Moore. So the recorder of deeds fees, I wanted to be clear. I think there was a little bit of confusion. It's just we're removing fees and then we're clarifying fees and aligning them with the rest of the department. So there's multiple things in the ordinance that has not been changed for multiple years that say we do things that we don't do today. So instead of that confusion of saying, well, it does show that you're going to do a title search, we want to remove that because we don't perform title searches downstairs. So that's what that is doing, is clearing that up. And I list everything there, everything that we're removing out of there. And also wanted to clarify other things that we charge, and specifically the copying fees. They were charging different in recorded deeds versus the rest of the departments per the budget. So we wanted to align those as well. So none of their fees are going up. They're either going to go down or they're being removed.
Well, good news, I guess.
Yeah. Turn it back over to Mr. Moore.
Thank you. Are there any members of, or excuse me, is any questions from council? If not, is there anyone here from the public that would like to comment on the proposed ordinance to amend and adopt the recorder of deeds fees? Any comments? Seeing none. Operator, can you check and see if there's anyone that is listening remotely that would like to opine on this matter?
At this time, there is no one on the line.
Thank you, operator. Mr. President, this time we can close the public hearing on this matter. If council desires, close public record.
We'll close public hearing. So give the council close public record. Ask Mr. Moore to do a short title.
Thank you, Mr. President. An ordinance to amend Chapter 62, Article 6, Roman numeral, Section 62-18A of the Code of Sussex County to modify current fees charged by the Recorder of Deeds and to enumerate such other Recorder of Deeds fees adopted in the budget process and set forth in the Delaware Code.
Pleasure, Council.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Schaefer. Second. Yes. Mrs. Green. Questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mr. Schaefer.
Yes.
Mrs. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Next, Mr. Moore.
Thank you, Mr. President. Next matter is in the public hearing on proposed ordinance establishing the annual operating budget. And Ms. Jennings.
Thank you, Mr. Moore. So this is the budget, the overall budget here. This is just a scaled-down version of the PowerPoint that I gave you back when we introduced the budget. So as you can see, the budget overall is going down 4.6% or $12 million. Most of that going down has to do with the American Rescue Plan Act. As we're spending those monies down, obviously there's less to spend. And our capital project funds are also decreasing because that is the timing of all the projects. You'll see that our operating budgets are going up, and I have more detail going forward. So let's start with the general fund. The general fund is increasing $9.3 million. So how are we making that up? And the way we're doing that is there's no increase in fees, but we are using $2.4 million of reserves. And as you remember, we only use reserves for one-time expenses. That is not to help with operating costs, ongoing operating costs. Our tax revenue is up $683,000, and this, again, is, has to do with the additional improvements being added to land. The realty transfer tax revenue, we're relying on that more at $3.5 million. Interest revenue is up $2.1 million. Grant revenue, most of this being from the state of Delaware, is up from up to $1.3 million. The register of wills revenue, due to our population increasing, their revenue is up $340,000. And our building-related revenue, as we budget conservatively here, is down $1.1 million. So if you take all of those, you'll see that that's where we get the $9.3 million increase on our revenue side. We are requesting some change in fees in the general fund. We are asking for a plan resubmittal fee of $300. So when somebody has to resubmit their fee, whether it's due to rejection or they're changing a building footprint, we had not been charging that. So this has helped to cover the cost of those employees' time. Also, IT would like to rent some space at the data center. So there's the charges there, $500 a month or $1,000 a month, depending on how much of rack space they're renting. Board of Adjustment ADU application fee. This just puts this in if you were to adopt the ADU ordinance. The major subdivision RPC, we also wanted to add $750 for any application that has a Ford's buffer plan. General fund expense comparison. So where are we seeing that $9 million increase in what categories? And you will see majority of that has to do with personnel. We have merits, COLAs. We do have 9 new positions in the budget, if you remember, and 7 of them are specifically public safety related. One is human resources to help with public safety, and the other one is to help with the workload and planning and zoning. Another large increase is the grant and aid of $3 million. Remember, that's $1 million to Dewey Beach for the MOU, $500,000 for the community development program, $500,000 for the, I just lost my train of thought. DSP, and $100,000 for local law enforcement, and then an extra $1 million for the accommodations tax that we expect to collect. The capital improvements, all of those increases have to do with paramedic equipment, and that's what makes up the $9.3 million. Moving on to the sewer operations, you can see that they had a similar increase of 10.5%, and as I mentioned before, a lot of this has to do with treatment costs of our treatment plants with our partners. That has gone up, along with some electricity costs to run our biosolids program. And then as we take on new customers and new areas, like we had talked about in the assessment roles, that also increases as we bring on new customers. So that is not spread out over all the customers, that is just to the areas that come on, and that's $1.7 million. And then water is seeing $228,000. Water is a lot smaller budget, but you can see there we have the supply cost from the city of Rehoboth, installing some meters, employment costs, and shared costs from the general fund that we can allocate some of those costs over to the water fund. I'm going to turn it back over to Mr. Moore.
Yes, thank you, Ms. Jennings. Are there any questions from council? Any questions, council? If not, is there any member of the public that would like to comment on the proposed ordinance establishing the annual budget? Anyone want to speak? Seeing none. Operator, is there anyone listening remotely that may want to comment?
At this time, there is no one on the line.
Thank you, operator. Mr. President, this time we can close the public hearing on this matter. If council desires, close public record.
We'll close public hearing. I'll give the council a close public record. Ask Mr. Moore to do a short title.
Thank you, Mr. President. An ordinance establishing the annual operating budget for fiscal year 2025.
Pleasure of council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Riley. Second, okay. Mr. Schaefer. Questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mr. Schaefer.
Yes.
Mrs. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I will, yes, motion carried. Thank you, Mr. Moore. Mrs. Jennings?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Another fine job as usual. Andrea Wall, insurance recommendation.
Good morning, Mr. President and members of council. I'm here this morning to make a recommendation for our insurance placements for FY25. As we approach the renewal of our insurance package on July 1st, our broker Alliant and our insurance consultant, Insurance Buyers Council, both recommended that Sussex County not market our property and liability package. We marketed all other lines of coverage. We are presenting a recommendation to self-insure the ocean outpipe fall pipe going forward. This recommendation is supported by IBC and Alliant. It is based on discussions with Hans Medlars, focusing on low overall risk, the lack of available carriers, price increases, and the fact that other neighboring entities do not purchase commercial insurance for this risk. Your packet included the expiring costs and the premiums for FY25 for each line of coverage. Although we are presenting a 5% increase in costs, it reflects increases to our insured values and current market conditions and not the insurability of Sussex County. At this time, Angela Tennis is available for discussion regarding the renewal process and current market conditions.
Okay.
Any questions
to council? Mr. Riley.
I'm curious, what's the potential exposure for self-insuring the ocean outfall pipeline?
So the ocean outfall pipe goes out in by Sea Colony in Bethany,
right.
And we have been insuring it with a limit of $3 million and a $250,000 deductible.
Right.
And with discussions with Hans, we determined that the risks to that pipe are low. Like, what could shift it or damage it in a way that would cause $3 million in damage?
So that's what we're insuring against, is the destruction or damage of the pipeline itself?
Pipe. Yes.
Is there a liability component to that, where that pipeline could create a liability that we'd be exposed?
Go ahead.
You know, the environmental liability or risk was always excluded. It was not part of it. So, you know, like this, our treatment process performance to make sure that we comply with the outfall quality, that's covered under the South Coastal Wastewater Treatment Plan. The exposure here is literally a large ship hitting the exposed header. You would have to have a 60-foot draft to hit it, or an anchor hitting the diffusers. You know, so there's like, we could not come up with anything which meets the requirements where we feel we would have an exposure beyond the $3 million. So the other thing is, you know, the exposed sheet piling of the original excavation is well beyond the surf line, and you would have to be diving in the murky, you know, 60-foot, 100-foot out from the beach. So again, these scenarios we did not believe were plausible and or warranted this kind of insurance, because some of it was not covered, and the other was well beyond the limitations of the deductible.
I reached out to both the city of Rehoboth and Ocean City, and they don't purchase commercial insurance for their pipes.
Okay. Do you have any idea what the premium is on that policy?
The expiring premium from last year was about $90,000, and that was a 45% increase from FY23. Part of the issue is that there is only one carrier willing to write this risk, so that they know that they can continue to increase premium.
So if you self-insure it, will you be putting money aside in a marked account or
Jennings?
we can do that. We don't have to. We do have enough reserves to cover anything that we feel that we can do. But if council so chooses, we can also do that if you feel more comfortable. But I don't feel that there's a need.
More questions?
Because we didn't do that for our
I think we have no more questions, apparently, so.
I have a motion for your consideration.
Please read your motion.
Based on the recommendation of Alliant Insurance Services, Inc., Insurance Buyers Council, and the Sussex County Finance Department, that Sussex County Council authorizes the placement of insurance coverage as presented for the period of July 1st, 2024 through June 30th, 2025, at a cost not to exceed $2,238,896.
Pleasure, council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Riley. Second, Mr. Schaefer. Questions on a motion? We'll take the vote. Mr. Schaefer?
Yes.
Mrs. Green?
Yes.
Mr. Hudson?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
I have a yes. Motion carried.
Thank you.
Mr. Whitehouse, Comprehensive Land Use Plan Annual Report.
Good morning, Mr. President, members of Council. So on today's agenda, we have the annual report to the Governor's Advisory Council on Planning. And as Council may remember, we are required under the Delaware Code to have a comprehensive plan in place. And Council adopted their comprehensive plan in 2018, and it was certified by the Governor in 2019. On today's agenda, we have the fifth annual report regarding progress on the implementation of the strategies within the comprehensive plan. And Mr. President, I promise not to read the entire report, but I do have some highlights of that report, which
That'd
is included in your paperless packet. We have updates on mobility and transportation, including our coordination with Delaware Department of Transportation, including work on the upcoming Coastal Corridors study, which is in progress, and that's moving to an advanced stage. We have updates on the Henlopen Transportation Improvement District and the potential creation of a new transportation improvement district in the southeastern corner of the county to be known as the Roxana TID. That's a work in progress that's moving forward to its analysis stage. We also have updates on land use ordinances that have come forward, including the recent update on ordinances relating to the retail sales of marijuana and the perimeter buffers ordinance that's currently being considered by council at the moment. We have some other updates in there in terms of the number of land use applications, updates on economic development, including progress and implementation of works at the Western Sussex Business Campus. And in terms of open space, we have a summary of the open space that's permanently now protected through subdivision applications that have come forward. So in the last year, the county has sought approvals, worked with developers to secure approvals for a total of 456 acres of open space, bringing our four-year total since the adoption of comprehensive plan to 1,930 acres in total, and those applications are summarized in the report. We also have a summary of other intergovernmental coordination, including our work with towns and municipalities and the state of Delaware. And then we have a summary on legislative changes impacting comprehensive planning that have emerged on the state level that will affect our next comprehensive plan update, along with an estimated timetable for that next comprehensive planning update. We're approaching the need to begin work on that, which will start in the next reporting year with work to follow in the next few years thereafter, with the anticipated adoption of a new updated comprehensive plan before the 10-year anniversary. So, unless there's any questions, Mr. President.
Questions of council? Anyone? Questions?
Just a question about process. On the 10-year comprehensive plan, do we form a working group for that, or is that all internal, or how does that process work?
So there will be workshops that are held before the Planning and Zoning Commission first with public input, and there'll be staff input and technical input from state agencies. The public will be involved in those workshops. So it's arranged by section, by element. So there'll be a transportation element, and then there's never a requirement to have an education element. And then what will happen is there'll be workshops before County Council. As we move towards formalizing a 10-year update, there will be public workshops, and they will be out in the county, and the public will be able to attend those. And then finally, there'll be public hearings as the various drafts emerge. So there'll be multiple opportunities for the public to engage in those.
So the public's role would be to attend the meeting and speak?
Correct.
But not necessarily be on a committee per se?
Correct. But the members of the public can submit written comments at any point during the process, and they all form part of the record. So.
When do those meetings start?
I don't want to commit to a date right now, but we would normally begin 2 years prior to the anticipated adoption date. So if we're anticipating an updated plan by calendar year 2028, then work will begin by 2026.
2 years. 2 years from now.
I think we'd look for feedback from council too at that time. The last comp plan, I think there was direction from council at the time to really take a deep dive into the contents of the comp plan, and you saw the robust amount of work that went into that. I don't picture that amount of work going forward to this next update, because we've got a really good foundation.
Sure.
But that's going to be something council's going to have to give us some direction on, including budgetary considerations. We used at least two consultants through the process last time. Would we want to do that again this time?
Any more questions of council? Thank you, sir.
I have a motion for your consideration.
Please read your motion.
Be it moved that Sussex County Council approves the submitted report to the Governor's Advisory Council on Planning.
Pleasure, Council.
For adoption.
Motion, Mr. Hudson. Second.
Sorry.
Mr. Schaefer. Questions on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mr. Schaefer?
Yes.
Mrs. Green?
Yes.
Mr. Hudson?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
Oh, we have the motion carried. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Ashman, a resolution for the dissolution. Well, that's unusual.
That's a first. That's not an unusual. That's a first. It is a first. So I have my retired friend here to help me with my presentation
okay,
today.
That's good.
Since we wrote it together.
So basically, this starts off as the revised assessment amount for the Blackwater Village District. And I want to give you some background that in October of 2019 is when we actually received the petition starting this whole process along to get a sewer district for Blackwater Village. And we were all set to go to our public hearing on March 13th, and the governor's executive order caused the cancellation of that meeting. So we actually didn't get rescheduled to hold our public hearing until October of 2020. And then we moved through with our resolution and vote. Council actually established the referendum or approved the referendum in February. Immediately after that, we got another request from the area to go to street lighting, stormwater, drinking water service, street lighting, and drainage improvements. So we did the same thing. We sent out polling letters, just not basing it on the letter from the HOA. There was significant interest to go forward with these, and we went ahead. We received council's approval in August of 2021, and we had our public hearing where the residents in attendance objected to the numbers that we proposed. They were sort of misled that the county was going to give them water, streetlights, and stormwater improvements at no cost. And this was basically directed to them by the HOA at that time, or at least one board member that we know of. So following the precedent set at Winding Creek Village, we asked the residents to provide us with notarized letters that they did not want to proceed to the referendum. We received at least 50% of those lots revoking that interest in central water, street lighting, and drainage. So that halted that application.
I mean, literally took 2 years to unwind that.
So at that point in time, we have now spent two years of our time getting through all this process. So now it's time to start applying for our funding for the sewer only at this point in time. We originally went to USDA in September of 22, and we were advised that based on MHI that they would cap it at 45% grant money. This made the made it unfundable as far as we were concerned, as we exceeded our 1.5% of MHI, which is what we had proposed to the residents. So we changed all our documents, changed all our reports, and we sent our application to SRF in May of 23, because we had missed the opportunity for 2022 to get on the project priority list and the intended use plan. We received our offer from SRF in November of 2023. This again exceeded the referendum approved for the annual sewer service assessment and triggered a new public hearing for the sole purpose to present this revised assessment to the area. That public hearing was held on February 17th of 2024. Todd got exposed a little bit to our public hearings. It's quite exciting. And the referendum was held on June 6th. The result of the referendums were 26 in favor and 225 opposed to the revised assessment rate, which according to our voting resulted in the de-annexation from the Unified Sanitary Sewer District. And based on the overwhelming outcome of the referendum, the department recommends the dissolution of the Blackwater Village area of the Sussex County Unified Sanitary Sewer District.
And the de-annexation was on the ballot, Mr. President. So anybody who voted for that or voted against the new assessment automatically knew what that would do.
And the reasoning for that is to prevent us from having to track anything coming through as a near-term service letter or anything in the future, as it currently is shown as a tier one for sewer service. This would take us back to a tier two, knowing that service is not going to be in that area immediately.
All right. Any question of council? I assume you have a motion.
I have a resolution.
Okay, resolution. We'll take that too.
This is a resolution for the dissolution of the Blackwater Village area of the Sussex County Unified Sanitary Sewer District declared under the provisions of Title IX, Chapter 65 of Delaware Code.
Pleasure, counsel.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Hudson, second.
Second.
Mr. Schaefer, questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mr. Schaefer.
Yes.
Mrs. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
All of you, the motion carried. Thank you all.
Mr. President, as an information item on this, after you passed the resolution, we have been discussing it with the SRA Funding Administration, and it will now release funds which were previously allocated to this project. We happen to have a project next in line, so we will be coming back to you with a new consideration for another one of our projects.
But not Blackwater Village.
Not in Blackwater Village. So. But we needed your motion on the resolution
before we could do that.
So now we can have them released.
Yeah. Well, thank you for all your hard work over the years.
Thank you.
But,
Blackwater.
The best laid plans, you know. Patrick Brown.
Morning, Mr. President.
Thanks, sir.
Members of council. Back a second time out of a possible four times with the Chapter 96 project for Waterside. If you recall, in April, we heard the results of the petition process, which was about a three quarters in favor to hold an election. So in May, the election was held. Here today to present the results of the election and a resolution to move us into a design bid build process. So the election went smoothly. We had about a 64% turnout of the 80 owners. It was 49 in favor of the project, 2 against the project. So a strong majority interested in the road improvements effort. So today I have a resolution to, again, take us to design bid build. We would come back to award once we advertise the projects, and then we would come back a final time with an assessment roll at a public hearing to kind of recollect the cost of all of the work.
Sure.
One modification that I did receive concurrence from our finance director and county engineer was commonly in the program code, at the assessment roll recording, we insert the language for title searchers to find the special community lien exists. I'm recommending we move that to this resolution so we can put the language in place. There is a lot of transition of home ownership in Waterside. Two changed during the period between the petition and election. I think there's 5 for sale currently. It's a lot of investments and rentals. It's only about a one-third resident. So I think it, in our best interest, is it gets called. They call in and they find out that the assessment is not yet recorded. However, the project is in process and there will be an assessment. So that has been added to this resolution instead of the latter.
Sure. Okay. Any questions, council? Read your resolution, please.
Short title.
Okay. Short title, yeah.
A resolution authorizing the Sussex County Engineer to perform improvements and the Sussex County Engineer and Finance Director to determine a uniform assessment rate for billing upon a substantial completion of the improvements for the Waterside Chapter 96 Sussex Community Improvement Project.
Pleasure, council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Hudson, second.
Second.
Mr. Schaefer, questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mr. Schaefer.
Yes.
Mrs. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
We had motion carried. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Ms. Jennings, grant requests.
Thank you, Mr. President. The first grant request is True Blue Jazz. They're requesting $10,000 for their youth jazz educational initiative through the True Blue Jazz Festival, and we have members of the Jazz Festival here.
Morning.
Good morning.
How much did we grant them last year?
$10,000.
Okay.
Hey, how are you? Good.
Sherman, how you doing?
Ladies and gentlemen, I should say, you guys are probably familiar with us. We're 12 years in, and you know, Peggy is going to fill you in on some of the info and background and headlines of what you're seeing in the book. The images speak for themselves as you see these kids, but there's some great stuff behind those pictures.
Good morning.
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 Thank you so much for giving us some time this morning. And yes, you guys know who we are and you know what we do. Bringing arts education into the schools and bringing our headline artists in has been really awe-inspiring for a lot of young people throughout Sussex County. And we do, of course, do some work across the state, but our primary focus is right here. What's recently come to our attention and is rather disturbing for me personally, we've had parents, we've had members of the community come to us and tell us that the Indian River School District is taking arts education to 2 days a week. 37 kids went before the school board and spoke. And any of you who have had a teenager knows teenagers don't talk, right? So if 37 of them spoke, that probably means there were 300 behind them.
They tried to text the school board, but that wasn't working.
They didn't try to text the school board. If I'm correct, I think that Indian River School District is so big that it bleeds over three of you council members' districts, right?
Sure.
That's pretty big. So when you take arts education as a whole out of the schools, you're taking creativity away from children. And creativity is where everything comes from in society, right? It's where engineering comes from. It's where aerodynamics comes from. It's where medicine comes from. If people can't learn to think outside the box and have lofty aspirations for things, what do we have as a society? And so that's where we come in. Certainly bringing arts to our community as a whole. The programs that we do with True Blue Jazz provide a lot of free, we do have ticketed shows, you guys know that, but we provide a lot of free entertainment to people across the county, not just during our festival in October, but across the year. And what we do with the kids is, I mean, for us, it's what it's all about. When you see the light bulbs go off and you see the difference, when we have kids come to us and say, I didn't know what I wanted to do. I probably could have gone down a wrong path, but you guys brought this person into the school and you guys gave us an opportunity to do this. And that set the course of the rest of my life. If you read some of the testimonials that we have put in the book for you this year, you can read it in those kids' words. We have students that leave the True Blue Jazz programs. We have a ton of kids at University of Delaware. We have them at Temple University. We have them at Peabody. One of our True Blue Jazz students went on to Peabody. Peabody Conservatory of Music accepts 10 students a year from around the world. So to get into Peabody, that's a pretty big deal, right? And these young people are, some of them going on for professional careers, but a good number of them are coming back into the community and doing music education and arts education in our schools. We have several of our former students, program members that are actually have gone into arts and music therapy, you know, so they're coming back into the community to help on so many different levels. Every time we think we've sort of got it covered, we get more and more requests from people. And the most recent one, as I said, you know, we're planning right now in September to hit the ground running with programs for Indian River School District. When 37 kids go before a school board and say, what are you doing? This is, you're taking a one thing that means something to me in school. There's a problem. And, you know, we try to be the remedy to that on one level. And we certainly hope that you'll continue to help us do that.
Did the school board change course?
No. I mean, that's a whole nother, that's a whole nother issue. I mean, you guys can't solve it. We're going to try to help where we can, but it's pretty profound.
Listen, on a positive note, I don't know if you saw the Cape Gazette this morning, but I think three of your kids were highlighted in there.
Yes, they were. And Sam and Liam.
Victoria and Connor.
Correct. And they are three of our four scholarship recipients for this year. We just haven't made the award yet.
That's great stuff. I think I saw all three of them at the Milton Theater last fall. We had a program there, jazz.
Our International Jazz Day show in April, all of those kids opened. Yeah. You know, we have the kids, when we do professional shows, we have the kids come out and play. They perform for the public. So all three of them were part of an ensemble of about 11 kids that opened for International Jazz Day for us.
Well, as a strong supporter of the arts, I want to thank you both for all you do for our community and our entire county.
Thank you.
Much appreciated. And we appreciate the support all along the way. But, you know, listen, if we could clock the time and the money that we personally have put in this, it's insane. I keep telling her it's insane. And she said, what's new? What's new?
But they're worth it.
But it's incredible. And this year, when you look on the back of this book, we've been doing shows before we even started True Blue Jazz, and we had great players from around the region. And then when we started True Blue Jazz, of course, we were reaching out to national, international acts. This year, even Peggy and I are just like beside ourselves with the legends of jazz that we have coming in on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday at the Boardwalk Plaza, plus a 17-piece big band that's going to be out at Nassau Valley Vineyards. Yeah. And
the kids get to be a part of all of that.
Right. They come to so all these shows free. We do the workshop on Friday at CAPE. We'll do a workshop with a Juilliard professor that's the music director of the 17-piece big band, plus a trumpet player that's in the big band that's a, you know, recording, touring, international star. The two of them will do the workshop for the CAPE kids. To get these guys in front of these kids, it's life-changing. And I mean, I put a couple of tick marks here next to some quotes. I know you can't rip through here and digest all this, but just, you know, going down quickly, True Blue Jazz was and remains one of the largest positive impacts on my musical life. When I say that True Blue Jazz, another one, when I say that True Blue Jazz changed the trajectory of my life.
I know, you're going to get choked up. So
it's crazy. This stuff, yeah. You know me. You know me. This stuff is way deep for us, and we're giving till it hurts.
We will keep you posted on the schedule for the
and it's
workshops
really moving,
and
the
clinic
and response we get
for what we're doing for Indian River. We also have a program coming up for Georgetown and one for Seaford. One of our sponsors specifically earmarks his donation to make sure that we go into Seaford because he's so invested in the community as a business person there. So we'll keep you abreast of all of that. And of course, we start the festival on Wednesday night. It will be the 16th this year at Bethany Blues with kids from across the county. And it is Youth Jazz Appreciation Night, and it's all about the kids. There are no grown-ups playing. Those kids take the stage, and they own the room. And can I tell you, when they get to play out like that, there's a swagger that happens that you don't see otherwise.
Well, and certainly it shows that all these great people on here, this shows, and then the it's always, you know, you always have the grand finale, you know, and the grand finale is there. Here's the grand finale.
Well, oh. Not only that, with us last year, is it 2 years ago that Joey DeFrancesco passed away?
Yeah, yes.
Monster international jazz organist and multi-instrumental. He was scheduled with us when COVID happened. We pushed him off. We pushed him off till the next year. The businesses weren't coming up with sponsorship money, so we had to push him to 2022. Festival in October. In August, Joey passes away. His wife invites us to Philly, to the Clef Club, legendary Philly jazz institution and education center.
For his memorial service.
For his memorial service. We meet Terrell Stafford, again, international jazz trumpet player.
And the music director of Temple University.
Right, yeah. As well as
Jerry Weldon.
Who is,
if you're a Harry Connick fan, Jerry Weldon is Harry Connick's.
Harry Connick's big band. Both of them are there. Terrell was there with the Temple Jazz big band. We met both of them, and just because we're crazy, we went, you guys got to come and play with us. And they said, yeah, call us up. So we do. They come play with us. They're coming back again this year. Yeah. You know, when they said yes last year, we're going, now what do? We got to play with these guys. Yeah. These guys are the bigs. Jerry Weldon, if you ever saw Harry Connick, he was down at Freeman Stage, and Jerry's down there with him, and he is always out, you know, working the sax right out front with Harry. He is the featured guy. So to have them step up, and I don't know what else to say, but recognize us as doing something
the greatest compliment we have in terms of the headliners that come, they know we don't have a ton of money. They're willing to work with us, but we hear it again and again and again. The reason that these people are willing to come to Rehoboth Beach, Delaware, and Lewis, Delaware, is because of what we do with the kids. And it's about the education, and that's what hooks these people. And that's, they say, you know what? We're going to come play for you because what you do is important.
Sure. Any questions of council? I think Mr. Schaefer put this on the agenda.
I did. I would like to offer $2,000 from the youth grant. $2,000 from the third district account, and I would hope that
I've got some I was expecting an application I haven't received, and I think I'm going to be a little surplus as we head into the end of the year, so
okay.
I commit $2,000.
I will also $2,000.
I will contribute $1,000.
That leaves us $1,000 short, doesn't it?
It does.
I guess that's me, okay. So, motion, Mr. Schaefer, second, Mr. Hudson, to grant $10,000, being $2,000 in the countywide youth grant, $2,000 in District 3 Council MAC account, District 5 Council MAC account, District 4 Council MAC account, $1,000 District 2 Council MAC account, and District 1 County County account. Two, four, six. Am I right?
You're right.
Okay. Questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mr. Schaefer.
I vote yes.
Mr. Green?
Yes.
Mr. Hudson?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
I have a yes. Motion carried. Thank you all. Have a good day.
Thank you from the bottom of our hearts. And we hope to see you out at some of these programs. We invite you every year, but we'd love to see you. We'd love for you to come see these kids live in action. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you. Ms. Jennings?
Okay, the next one is Milton Police Department's requesting $1,700 for their National Night Out. There's no previous grants to this organization. Mrs. Green, placed on the agenda.
Ms. Green?
I'll contribute $1,500.
Okay. Yeah. Motion, Mrs. Green.
What are they requesting?
$1,700.
I can do the other $200.
Okay, so motion, Mrs. Green, second, Mr. Riley, to grant $1,700 to the Milton Police Department for their National Night Out, being $1,500 District 2 Council MAC account and $200 District 5 Council MAC account. Question on the motion. Take a vote, Mr. Schaefer.
Yes.
Mrs. Green?
Yes.
Mr. Hudson?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
I'll be the motion carried. Next.
And next one is AIDS Delaware is requesting $1,000 for their AIDS Walk Delaware program. Last grant received for this event was in the amount of $1,000 from Mr. Schaefer, and Mr. Schaefer placed on the agenda.
Schaefer.
I will offer $500 from the third district.
I'll do $500.
Okay. Motion, Mr. Schaefer, second, Mr. Hudson, to grant $1,000 to the AIDS Delaware for their AIDS Walk Delaware program, being $500 each from District 3 and District 4. Question on a motion. Take the vote, Mr. Schaefer.
Yes.
Mrs. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I'll be at the motion carries. Next.
Okay, and the next one is Village Improvement Association is requesting $5,000 for their history book of the VIA in Rehoboth Beach. Last grant for this organization was the amount of $1,500 for a new beach snow fence in 2021 from Mr. Hudson. Mr. Schaefer placed on the agenda.
Schaefer.
I'm sorry, remind me again what they're requesting.
They're requesting $5,000.
$5,000, right? Yeah, $5,000.
I will offer $500 from the third district.
Okay.
I'll also do $500.
Okay. Motion, Mr. Schaefer, second, Mr. Hudson, to grant $1,000 to the Village Improvement Association Incorporated for their history book of the VIA 1909 to 2024, being $500 from Mr. Schaefer's count from District 4 and $500 District 3. Question on the motion. Take the vote, Mr. Schaefer.
Yes.
Mrs. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I have the motion carried. Introduction, Mr. Moore, zoning ordinances.
Thank you, Mr. President. First ordinance is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for a tree and excavation business to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Broad Creek 100, Sussex County, containing 5.86 acres, more or less, and in your district, Mr. Vincent.
I'll introduce it.
The next one's in Mr. Schaefer's district, an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for a general contractor and construction business with an office, showroom, and storage, including vehicles, to be located on certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, containing 0.46 acres, more or less.
I will introduce it.
Mr. Schaefer, introduce it.
The next one is in Mr. Hudson's district, an ordinance grant a conditional use of land in a CR1 commercial residential district for multifamily units, 42 units, to be located on certain parcels of land lying being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, containing 4.86 acres, more or less.
I'll introduce it.
Hudson, introduce it.
And the last one is in Mr. Schaefer's district, an ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an AR1 agricultural residential district and a C1 general commercial district to a C2 medium commercial district for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, containing 1.529 acres, more or less.
I will introduce it.
Schaefer, introduce it.
And that is all, Mr. President.
Thank you. Council member comments. Council member comments. Anybody? Entertain a motion to recess until 1:30 for our appeal.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Hudson. Second.
Second.
Mr. Riley. Questions on the motion? Take the vote. Mr. Schaefer.
Yes.
Mr. Green.
Yes.
Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I will yet. We're now in recess until 1:30.